Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
One of the things that I think is so impressive about Sean McDermott is Sean called me personally 2 or 3 days before the draft. I've known Sean for 25 years. I coached against him when he was a safety at William & Mary. I was the offensive coordinator at Villanova. So I've seen Sean from a player, and then when he was an intern with the Eagles. His secondary coach at William & Mary was my defensive coordinator at Richmond. I think Sean is probably on the high end of people that care about character and fit and community, and the fact that he called me and asking about those things about Boogie, it's not just coach speak to say that he cares about it. He was really doing some deep digging before he was going to use a first or a second round pick.
That is Dave Clawson, head football coach at Wake Forest, on with us talking about his relationship with Sean McDermott and the research that Sean McDermott and the Bills were doing prior to drafting Carlos Boogie Basham from the Demon Deacons. If you missed the interview, it's available on demand audio. Ever miss anything, go check out on demand audio, WGR550.com.
So, interesting tweet here, and something about this season we can talk about for the Bills, where we can kind of ask a hypothetical or ask if they've learned a lesson. Stephon Diggs was tweeting yesterday about a couple things. We brought this up, the NFL on CBS tweet about top receiving groups in the NFL, and the Bills were not listed as a nominee, and Diggs used that to say, like, come on, let's show some love. By the way, also, he pointed out he played with a torn oblique, and he said that Cole Beasley played on a broken leg in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the Bills. Here are the Bills receivers in the playoffs playing injured, and maybe that's a factor why they weren't as sharp offensively, right? We watched them in the playoffs against the Colts. We thought, not really as sharp as they have been. Against Baltimore, it was a struggle.
Not
and then
much,
against Kansas City,
right.
Same thing, right? So when you got to the playoffs, you won two games. You got to the AFC Championship, but I think we'd say the offense wasn't quite as sharp as it was. So Diggs pointing out that he was playing with a torn oblique and that Beasley is on a broken leg. Nick Veronica of WIVB Channel 4 tweeted this out, and I think this is a great point to bring up and a question to ask, you know, in the moment versus now looking back and also looking forward. Nick writes, Stephon Diggs played through a torn oblique in the playoffs. Cole Beasley played through a broken fibula. Both deserve a ton of credit for toughing it out, but neither injury needed to happen. Beasley was hurt in Week 16 when the Bills were up 38-9. And Diggs was hurt in Week 17 with the AFC East clinched. It is a totally fair question. We talked about it in those final days, right? We talked about that New England game. How hard do you go here? How far do you go? Week 17 against Miami. You don't need this game.
Yeah.
Right? The Bills were clinched with the AFC East. The Steelers were resting their players, so you didn't have to go hard for the 2 seed. If you got the 3 seed versus the 2 seed, we knew there was some stuff on the line, but the question is how much?
Yeah.
And that win over New England, 38-9 when Beasley gets hurt. So
yeah.
I guess the question is, do you think that the Bills regret that? Do you think that they learned a lesson, necessary evil, them's the breaks? You know, you went to the playoffs not at 100%, and you didn't really have to do it that way.
Yeah. Well, the Miami game, to me, the New England game is a more interesting discussion, even though they had clinched the division already. But the Miami game was easy. I wouldn't have played anybody. You could have dressed just back, just whatever, done skeleton staff. There was no need to put for anybody Josh and anybody important to be on the field, or at least a handful of the most important offensive players to be on the field. You know, I almost wonder, Jeremy, the New England game. I mean, they were not locked into seeding yet, right, for the New England game. They had won the division. They had to think, in that someone in that building had to be like, let's just go beat the living crap out of these guys.
Right. But again,
you know, we won't worry about snap counts for this guy or that guy, or do we pull Diggs? It's a blowout. Do we pull Diggs early? Do we do this? Do we that? I think they're enjoying, like, really beating the tar out of New England.
But it was 38-9.
I know. That's all I got.
But wait, it was already 38-9 at that point.
Yeah. Well, when did they
let's go
pull guys out at some point in that game?
That's the question. Like, should they have been more cautious?
Yeah. Well, in hindsight, but I think they were really trying to beat the crap out of New England. Wanted to play everybody.
Well, 38-9 is beating the crap out of them.
I know that.
Accomplished.
Right. Do I think – I will tell you today, in hindsight, yes. But I'll tell you today, not once in that game did I think, it's over, it's fun, you're beating them, get Diggs out, or, you know, whatever.
I'm not asking hindsight. I'm asking foresight. What happens next time? Do you think
they do it differently.
Away?
Yes, I think they would approach it differently. Yes.
I mean, I don't think that's a guarantee, just because you're talking about the Patriots. Brady played forever in games that didn't matter.
And I thought that was a bad idea.
Right, we'd all be screaming, what are you doing? I can't believe you're playing Brady in this game that doesn't matter. I can't believe he's still in.
And he's throwing.
Not just us.
Right.
And he's throwing.
Right.
It was a consistent thing with the Patriots where they kept him in and they wanted to keep rolling. And, you know, Bills fans made that point leading into those final couple games last year of keep going. You're not getting a bye, right? Yeah. You have to play next week. So let's keep this going as seamlessly as possible. And, you know, I think there's a point to be made there. There's value there. I just wonder if they will react to we got our guys hurt late last year.
Yeah. I think the reaction is this, if I had to make a guess. I don't think they would change anything and sit and just not dress guys. As long as something's in play, based on who Sean McDermott is and based on what he says, even if they won the division, but seeding is in play, I think he would still approach it by dressing everybody playing to win the game. The only thing I would say they could learn and do differently is, if that New England scenario comes up again, you're winning the game. You know, it's over. They say to Diggs at some point, all right, man, you're done for the night. Beasley, you're done for the night. Maybe even Josh Allen. Hey, man, we're up like 30 points. It's the fourth quarter. Go sit down. So-and-so's going in. That's what they would still play their guys and play to win. As long as something is on the line, I don't think that'll ever change with Sean McDermott. But I think I would like to believe they would, quote, learn and take some of the key veteran guys. Maybe, I don't know. Do you take Mitch Morse out in the fourth quarter? I don't know how extensive it is, especially if someone's playing nicked up. We're up 20, we're up 30, game's over. Go sit on the bench and relax for the last quarter and a half. That would be as far as I would go with what they would learn and use in terms of foresight.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
going beyond that, you know.
You say, I don't think it'll ever change under Sean McDermott, and I might agree, but then I think that's not giving McDermott enough credit. He has changed a lot, right? He changed how he felt about fourth downs and being aggressive from year one conservative to the last 3 years being very aggressive in that department. I think he gets a lot of credit for kind of, you know, evolving and becoming, not that he wasn't a smart coach before, or maybe he just didn't feel comfortable making those kind of decisions with the team he had in year one, but they've become this really smart and this team that gets a lot of credit for that stuff. So, you know, whatever you'd like to say about McDermott changing, I think a lot of these people can change. And especially if you're willing to say that the Bills had to get defensive ends because they couldn't pass rush Patrick Mahomes. You know, what you're talking about there is a knee-jerk reaction to the way that you lost. Well, another knee-jerk reaction would be Diggs had a torn oblique and Beasley's on a broken leg.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to do our best to make sure that doesn't happen. One of the things about these great teams, you know, you could say doesn't necessarily happen in the NFL. The Chiefs rested their starters, right? The Chiefs rested against Atlanta
yeah.
and they had a bye.
Yep.
They had 2 weeks off to get as healthy as possible. In terms of the biggest advantage you can get, the bye week is a bigger advantage than home field. At least last year, that's for sure, because home fields were a little bit different last year. You want to be as healthy as possible. There, I saw a stat yesterday. Do you know who the healthiest team in the league was last year?
No.
Tampa.
Hmm.
Maybe I shouldn't be surprised.
Tampa, they missed the fewest games.
Yeah.
They had injury luck. That's COVID luck and regular luck with injury luck. Tampa was number one. Tampa's healthy. Why'd they win the Super Bowl? They are healthy and Kansas City wasn't, right?
Yeah.
Now, the Chiefs didn't exactly have the opportunity to rest their offensive line or rest Mahomes because they got hurt in games that mattered and games that were not out of reach at that point. But, you know, if Mahomes had suffered that foot injury, it happened against the Browns, right, in the playoffs?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, because he left
the
game.
If that had happened when the game was out of reach, it's 38-9, they're getting lambasted for what happened right there.
No, I know. Look, if Josh Allen would have gotten hurt late in New England, I would have been furious. I just think, like, it's one thing to say he adjusts a, punted or go-for-it strategy because, and he should, obviously, if you've got that kind of an offense, you think differently as a head coach. I think you make decisions differently as a head coach when you have that kind of an offense. I just think it's another to talk about philosophically who I might sit for a game when there are still things to play for. I think that's a different discussion with him. And I don't know, back to the continuing theme of Bills, we're living in a different world. Maybe that does change when you now are legitimately a Super Bowl contender. I mean, I didn't go into last season thinking the Bills are going to contend for the Super Bowl. Somewhere in December, it hit me. Mm-hmm. Maybe you might be right, Jeremy. I would say he doesn't, but maybe now that you're at that point, you don't go through 3 months, hit the fourth month and go, holy crap, we could win the Super Bowl now. You right. are there right now. So maybe he does change that approach. I don't think he would.
A little bit. What I was starting to get to, and then I distracted myself, the conversations about load management in other sports and whatever it is, those decisions are made by the good teams. Right. If we're talking about the NBA, LeBron, they're gonna manage him.
Yeah.
The Spurs,
Brooklyn.
They're gonna manage. Why are they doing it?
Yeah.
Because they think these games are not as important. Those games are.
It's funny you
everything.
No, ahead. I was just gonna say, like, the Nets get flack if they're playing like a big game against Milwaukee and it's the top two seeds and they rest some of their one or two of their key guys and like, what are you doing? It's Milwaukee, and like, well, obviously they're not as freaked out about we've got to get one seed in home court as we got to manage the load of our key players as, you know, we get closer to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's something, I think it's something worth considering, and maybe a question that I didn't think of we should ask until today, next time we talk to Brandon Bean. Will there be any conversation internally
load
about
management. Yeah.
Load management?
Right.
Like you said, like maybe they didn't expect to play. Well, they play 18 games last year, right? They go 13-3 and then two. I can't do the math. The 17-game schedules in my brain. 15-3 was their finals. 15-4?
19 games.
19. Okay, thank you.
16 games and then three playoff games, right? Yeah.
I
thought you were giving me a trick question here. I'm like, it's 16 and three, right? Okay.
So, okay, 19 games last year.
Right.
And at the end of the season, maybe it was bad luck. But this year, it'll be 17 games, and you will expect to play at least an 18th, probably a 19th,
mm-hmm.
hopefully a 20th. Do the Bills with their I mean, they stay healthy, Howard. That's the other thing about them.
Yeah.
They've had a real good run of staying healthy, right? And there's got to be some...
Knock on wood, yes. Yeah.
Knock on wood. And there's luck involved, but I'm sure that there's science to that too. And I just wonder if adding a 17th game and having higher expectation and having now a goal of the Super Bowl will change a little bit of the way that they do that.
Yeah.
For instance, let's put together the New England scenario again. Do you still have, now that it happened last year, do you still have the hunger as a fan and observer to smack that team in New England? Answer yes, of course. Okay. But it's not as strong, right? Because you know you've already done it.
Because
to prove it again.
You know, quote, we're the better team now.
Yeah.
They're chasing us now is that discussion. See, I'm thinking, now I'm going back and thinking about the December games. When there were the Denver game was over long before the end. Denver game was really over by halftime, actually. The New England game you bring up, San Francisco game, really, right? That was not in doubt. So I wonder, I don't know. I'm not sure what they did with snap counts in those games. I don't remember when, you know, guys would have come out. I don't know. I don't think he will radically change an approach. But who knows? Maybe it's just Josh and Diggs. Maybe it's just I'm going to get Josh out more often in blowouts in the midway fourth quarter. He doesn't play a series or two. Or maybe he turns to Diggs at the end of the third and says, we're up 21. Go sit down. I don't know. I'm not sure how they do that. You know, it's more of a discussion with them. We don't think about it with defensive line. Hughes doesn't play every down. Addison doesn't play every down. I don't know if you do it with safeties. It would really be your quarterback, because you don't want Josh getting hurt. And you're probably top, what, maybe three receivers if you want to watch Sanders load management, your older guys. I don't know. I'm not sure if he would really shift his philosophy in games that are still mattering to the standings. I don't know.
Ralph tweets in, I think they were trying to get Beasley 1,000 yards in that game.
Oh,
he did end up with 967.
Yeah, but you know what? Man, sorry.
He missed the Dolphin game, right?
Yeah.
Did he miss the first playoff game? I think he did.
Did he miss the first playoff game?
He didn't miss a playoff game?
Don't ask me memory questions.
Were we nervous he was going to miss the playoff game? Is that what it was? Because it felt like in those last couple weeks leading up to the postseason into the playoffs, we were thinking, ooh, I'm not so sure if he's going to be able to play for Diggs and Beasley both. Playoffs. No, he played.
Yeah.
He had seven targets for 57 yards.
Yeah.
He had no catches against Baltimore.
Right.
And then
seven
for 88 against Kansas City on a broken leg. So there you go.
That's actually kind of an interesting discussion, too, the whole concept of keeping guys in for milestones. I mean, Josh was chasing franchise records last year. Mm-hmm. Beasley trying to get his first 1,000 yards. Diggs chasing franchise, you know, break Eric Mould's record for this and that and all that. That's another discussion, too, in games that are blowouts later in the season. Are you're trying to go after personal milestones and all that stuff? Yeah, I don't know how he plays it, Jeremy. It is a different approach. You're going in as a legitimate Super Bowl contender. So maybe in the fourth quarter he does sit guys a little bit more for load management purposes. And there is an extra regular season game you got to deal with this year. So their workload is going up. It's a good debate. 803-0550 to join us. Happy Friday. Phone lines are always open. You can grab a line, join us on what we're discussing, or if you have another question or comment or topic, you can do that too. We'll check in with Paul Hamilton when we get back. And go through the end of the hockey season for the Sabres. That's coming up as well on WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Paul Hamilton.
I'll just keep on throwing little
This is really funny. We don't have Paul hooked up yet, but you know why? Because we're super early.
Wow.
It is 8:32, and we are back from the headlines. I know what I'm going to do with my... I'm going to plug the show, the news report tonight about you and Molly on Channel 4.
Ah, all right.
Because Channel 4 tweeted it out. Jeremy and Molly, of course, have... Are they 8 weeks old already?
They were eight weeks yesterday.
Man, time is flying.
Yeah.
I mean, they're practically off to college. and so they're going to do, everybody's familiar with Jeremy and Molly and the story they went through. So they're going to be profiled. Paul's ready? Yeah. They're going to be profiled on Channel 4 News tonight at 6 with everything that Jeremy and I don't want to bring it up because I'm going to get all choked up. But anyway, tonight, 6 o'clock, if you can't watch it live on Channel 4, roll your DVR so you can see the story about Jeremy and Molly.
And I apologize for my face.
I mean, come on. You didn't? Are you wearing a ball cap for the interview?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. You didn't groom up a little bit?
No.
All right, fine.
I wear a hat.
It's television. You're going to be on camera.
We had fancy pictures taken for the babies, I wore a hat for half of it because I wanted to wear a hat.
All right, fine.
I need to wear a hat at all times. When I don't wear a hat, it's not good for anybody.
All right. Speaking of not good for anybody, Paul joining us on the Western Hotline, brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. You know I love you, Paul.
It's Paul's fault, actually. It's not.
It's Paul's fault?
A long time ago, when the Sabres were good, mm-hmm. and we'd all go to games, and I would sit in my season ticket seats, Paul would be looking down on me from the press box and pointing out my thinning hair on top of my head. Yeah. Yep. Back in 2007.
I think he even took a picture of it with his flip phone once, didn't he?
Talking trash to me in 2007 about it, yeah.
I can't imagine what he said to me over the years about my balding head in the press box. He usually sits right above where I sit.
I'm going to sit this discussion out with my head, okay? If that's all right. Mr. Yeah. Flo, how you doing there, P-Ham?
Yeah, I still have the Flo. Howard, you used to have Flo when you were on TV.
I did, 20, 30 years ago, yeah. I think I started thinning out somewhere in the mid-90s, late 90s, I don't know. And then it just all left. Didn't you take – I thought you tweeted out a picture one time of Jeremy from the press box view. Maybe. I don't know.
You probably might have sent it to me.
Take pictures with your flip phone probably. Obviously the outcome really didn't matter. But, you had to feel so bad for Hauser last night. His family gets to see him. They're on hand. And – largely it was bad play in front of him. But, I mean, as each goal kept going, and I'm like, I almost feel like Don Granato, you don't want to pull the kid with his family there, but in the meantime, they just keep scoring.
Yeah. Oh. That was an atrocious effort by the Sabres in front of him, especially, and they were all so happy for him after those two games. I think I mentioned that to you. The way they smiled on the ice, I don't think I've seen that team smile like that for anything in the last 10 years. They really, really enjoyed the kid, winning the games, and they'd come out and, celebrate with him and beat him up and everything else after the game. And it was really kind of fun to see. And then they go out and do that in front of him. And the thing is, they had gotten it to 3-3. So they were keeping up.
Yeah.
And then, it's 3-3. And then for the next 34 minutes and 47 seconds, the Penguins basically ran the Sabres right out of the back of the building. And the Sabres afterwards really, Drake Jula saying, we owe him big time. For laying the egg in front of him, as he said, and he said the kid deserves better. And they really, I think, are going to try a lot harder to, help this kid if he winds up in net for Saturday. There's a chance Allmark could play.
Mm-hmm.
Not a huge chance, but a small chance he could play. It basically boils down to if Allmark feels he can go, he can tell the coaches and they'll change their mind and
right.
probably play him. But if this kid gets back, and he's 28 years old, and I'm still calling him a kid.
That's okay.
gets back in goal, I expect a much better effort in front of him.
I think, just so you know, Paul, to anybody under 30, for you and me, we still can call a kid.
Well, you can. I can.
Well, Paul, stop lying to people.
You're like 25 years older than me.
Okay, moving on to the next thing. I got to tell you, it was fun. I know it's not exactly a good game plan to try and go step for step, whatever, with Pittsburgh. But when, as you said, when they made it 3-3, I thought, it's firepower versus firepower, and somehow they're staying with it. Did they just kind of say for one night, you know what, don't worry about it, let's just try and run with these guys?
I think it started, and they're going, hey, this is fun.
It was fun to watch, I got to tell you. I couldn't keep my notes fast enough to keep up with all the goals that were being scored.
Yeah, I was sitting there. It took me about 15 minutes to do all the math, trying to figure out, well, it was this amount of seconds in between this goal and this amount of this goal. And, you know, so, yeah, it was, you know, it was kind of tough to try to do the math as we went along. But, yeah, I think that's why they wound up getting into it like that. Just before what you said, it was fun. They thought they could do it. It was going well, you know, and then all of a sudden it didn't go well.
Yeah.
And, you know, next thing you know, eight pucks are in their net.
You mentioned Kujula. So he had a couple goals last night. His contract is up at the end of the season. Has he done enough or okay, let me just rephrase this. Would you like to see him re-signed?
That's a good question. When I was asking him the question yesterday, it's certainly not a lack of effort. I mean, you get effort from him, you know, every game, but it just didn't seem like it goes very far until this game. And then it actually was a pretty nice shot done to see where Jari was in the net. Jari kind of sat back in his net and to pick the corner, a short side on him. That was a pretty nice shot that he had there to score the goal. Mm-hmm. Now he got help from the goalie, but still, you know, he was able to do that. That's the thing, too. You start the game off with that play. It's a good play all the way around. Shahan makes a nice play to produce the turnover. It was Mark Friedman, I believe, that turned the puck over to him. But that was a good play by Shahan just to produce that turnover and then quickly get the transition the other way to Kujula. And, you know, he uses his speed, gets in. Jari gets caught deep in the net, and you've got the lead. And, you know, it's pretty early in the hockey game when this happens. It's 2:45 into the hockey game. Yeah, you know, Jeff Carter gets two goals before the end of the period. You don't play real well in the period, although I thought they played better than 10-5 shots would tell you they did. I thought they missed some very good opportunities. Brett Murray had probably 3 or 4 really good scoring chances in this game because he was willing to go to the net and, you know, and then, you know, Thompson scores very early in the second period. So now you're 2-2, and then it starts. You know, next goal's 1:04 later. Next goal's 37 seconds later. Next goal's 1:13 later. Next goal's 59 seconds later. Before you're done, there's 5 goals in 3:53. Unfortunately, when this all ends, it's 5-3 other team. And you're still okay, really, because, you know, 2 games in a row against one of the best teams in the NHL at holding a lead, you had come back from 2 goal deficits and won the game. So you're sitting there after 40 minutes. All right, you're down 2, but you've been able to put some pressure on the other goaltender. You've been able to put 3 in the net. And, you know, so I wouldn't think after 40 minutes you're sitting there going, well, all is lost, you know, and, but, you know, 5-3 became 8-4 by the time it was over.
There's another guy I want to ask you. Now, he's under contract. Tage Thompson scored last night, his career-high 8th goal. And I guess with him, Paul, and with a number of things, I could almost come up with like a before Kruger and after Kruger, like BK and AK things here. But Thompson's under contract, so it's a different discussion than Kujula. What did you see from Thompson this season? Is there a reason to believe, because he was better after the coaching change, is there a reason to believe he can be a more consistent player going forward? Because you point out many times, whether it's on the air or the station or through Twitter, he can look great one night and then just disappear for a stretch.
And that's still there. And, one of these forwards is probably not going to be able to be protected unless they can, unless Jeff Skinner agrees to let them not protect him if he doesn't mind going to Seattle, but I can't see that. You know, he wanted to come to Buffalo because one of the reasons it's close to Toronto where he lives. And I realize Ron Francis, who had Jeff Skinner in Carolina, is in Seattle. But I just don't see Skinner saying, yeah, okay, I'll go out there, unless he has some burning desire to live out there.
The other thing, Paul, I mean, he could agree to waive it as a gamble, and the Sabres would dare them to take Skinner. And they might not because of the contract, right?
Yeah.
You think they'd take him?
I think they might know for sure that he wouldn't go there, and so, you know, but Skinner would have to be guaranteed that he's not going anywhere, you know, and then they wouldn't have to protect him. But, you know, now the choice would be Asplund, Thompson, you know, one of those two guys. And to me, I probably would protect Asplund before Thompson right now. But I don't think ownership would agree with me on that.
Really?
They don't want to look.
Because of the contract?
Part of the O'Reilly trade.
And oh, my Lord.
They want that to work out in the worst way. And, well, ownership, I think, would be very, would frown upon not protecting Thompson.
In this formula, I've got both Thompson and Asplund. I would expose Gergensen's, but I don't think ownership would want to
do that
either.
Right?
No.
Well, at least that's not the O'Reilly trade, right? So maybe.
I mean, Gergensen's is 2.2 for two more years, and you could expose him. I'm not sure. There's the whole game of trying to figure out who Seattle would take. You know, you're daring them to take somebody, and I don't know. They taking a 27, 28-year-old Zemgus Gergensen's?
Well, Bork is the one. I mean, right now, as I've written it down, Skinner, Eichel, Reinhardt, Asplund, Mittelstadt, Olsson, Thompson. That would expose Bork and Gergensen's. Mm-hmm. I think that's what you're looking at. What do you want to do with Bjork? I had Gergensen's exposed no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
I think the conversation comes down to Asplund, Thompson, and Bjork. One of those guys has to be exposed.
I just don't think it would be. I get you. We talked about this yesterday. Jeremy brought it up. I quite honestly never took into account them trying to justify the O'Reilly trade. So to me, I would take Asplund, keep Asplund, and I think we got down to Thompson or Bjork, and then I coin flip at that point.
I mean, it's going to sound like leading up to this, Paul, like I think Rasmus Asplund is Connor McDavid, which I don't. But for me, he's really, I want to say, like a must protect. I really like what I've seen from him. Mm-hmm. His overall game, his offensive ability, there's a little bit there. I just think he's worth keeping.
I agree. I agree 100%. He's the type of player that and he gives you some production out of the bottom six.
Right.
And you've heard me pounding the table for that for how long now? Probably since you've known me, because I don't think they've gotten much in production since 07 out of their bottom six. You know, you just have to get some production, and I think Asplund is the guy that can give you that. And I would protect him over Thompson, but I think Terry would get involved if Thompson was not protected. I almost know he would.
Hey, before we let you go, would you like to share a thought or two, since you covered his career here, about Chris Drury, the new president GM of the New York Rangers?
I thought you were going to say Abe Lincoln or something. I covered his career here. With.
No, actually, you would say that to me. Your boy White over there hit me with a lovely line about what it was like living in Prohibition the other
Prohibition,
day.
Prohibition, yeah.
So, yeah. So, thanks for setting the precedent for him, Paul. It's really
Did they
nice
have cake
him.
Vodka back then?
They didn't. It was just regular vodka. It was bathtub gin or regular vodka. And I thought, you know, if you could only make vodka taste like cake. And anyway, it took me a while.
Yeah, they've been grooming him to do that, and if there was a team that he'd want to do it for, it's the New York Rangers. I mean, he's from, I believe, the Connecticut area. The Rangers were his favorite team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why he wound up playing there. You know, when the Sabres were and him, whatever the story you want to believe, you know, they had a contract. They didn't have a contract. They had to bring it back to ownership. It took too long. He said, forget it because it took too long. You know, whatever the story is that you want to believe, you know, and then the story I do know for a fact is he did tell the Sabres that we'll bring any offer back to you. So the Sabres weren't too concerned, and that was the last they ever heard from him.
Oops.
You know, he wound up with the Rangers. He signed the contract, and then the Sabres never heard a word from him. So, and then it was like, well, I always wanted to be a Ranger. I mean, it's the Rangers.
Right.
I love that team.
His team, yeah.
So that's why, you know, he was groomed for this. This is what he wanted to do, and now he has the job.
All right, Mr. Hamilton. Well, we'll talk to you next week in some way, shape, or form, right? I assume they'll do a locker clean out by Zoom?
I would think, yeah, it'll definitely be by Zoom, right? And I would think they would do it Sunday.
All right.
I mean, they usually do it the day after. And, you know, I don't know if they're going to do the team dinner that they always used to do, you know, with because of COVID and that type of thing. So that may or may not happen, but
you anticipate hearing from Kevin Adams next week?
Yes,
he'll do a regular state of the Sabres.
Yeah, I think we'll hear. I don't know if we'll hear from the coach because he's an interim coach.
Yeah,
you know, so maybe we would, maybe we wouldn't, unless they hire him and take the interim tag off, which quite quickly I think would be a mistake. I'm not saying that Don Granato shouldn't get the job, but I'm saying they still should do the interviews.
Yeah.
You know, I still think they should talk, do the extensive search they're talking about, do the interviews. I would say Don Granato has the inside track, but I don't think they should just say, here, it's your job, and not do their due diligence along the way.
Yeah. Agreed. All right, Mr. Hamilton, we'll chat with you next week. Have a fabulous weekend, sir.
Sounds good. You guys, too. Happy Mother's Day to everybody's wives, and I will talk on the air before Mother's Day, but for you, both you gentlemen, please wish your wives happy Mother's Days.
Will do. Thank you very
Thank
much,
you,
sir. Appreciate it.
Yes.
Paul on the Western Hotline, brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. 803-0550 to join us. 888-552-550. Go ahead. What did you want to get to?
No. Good. What?
I don't know. I'm looking at a tweet. I have no idea
what it means.
Yeah. I mean, it just could be, it's Carl Ravitch. I'm just looking at the screen. Carl Ravitch, ESPN, tweeted, confirmed there will be many American League games scheduled Sunday night. What the hell does that mean?
I don't know.
That's why I paused like I did.
Maybe it's a joke.
That's what I was trying. I don't know if this is a follow-up tweet to some other. What's the context of it? Is he just making a joke?
Well, a few minutes before that, someone asked him, is Sunday Night Baseball only National League this season? And he said, I don't believe so. I'm guessing we have many American League games on the schedule. And then confirmed, there will be many American League games on the schedule.
Thank you for the backstory. And I probably shouldn't have brought it up because it was completely out of context. Okay. Anyway, right, 803-0550 to join us, WGR.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Ooh, we're going mellow today, huh? Mellow Genesis intro music. We have another pair of tickets to give away to see Genesis at KeyBank Center Saturday, November 27th. Call right now for your chance to win. 644-9878. It's Friday. The weekend starts in an hour. Caller 20 at 644-9878. We'll give you the tickets. I'm getting the death stare. It's not a lot. Anyway, yeah, right. So there you go. Tickets are courtesy of Magic City Productions. Again, caller 20 at 644-9878. You get a pair of tickets. If you don't win them, tickets are going on sale today at noon at Ticketmaster.com, and the afternoon guys will have another pair of tickets to give away later today. So good luck with all that stuff. I have a little story here about Twitter I wanted to bring up and tell you about.
Sounds great.
I don't know if you know this. Sometimes Twitter can be a mean place.
Occasionally.
Rarely, but it's been known to happen. So Twitter is releasing a feature that they will automatically detect what they term a mean reply. And you will get a prompt before you tweet this. You can type it into your device, and they will detect whether they believe it's mean or not. If it is considered mean, you will then get a prompt that says, "Want to review this before tweeting?" And you will be given three. You're laughing.
You'll be given, like, yeah, you know what? It's not mean enough.
You'll be given three options: tweet as is, edit, or delete. So here's my question.
Yeah.
Are they trying to say when someone's tweeting, they're not sure if it's a mean reply and they need someone else to point it out to them?
Yeah, I suppose.
Or do you really think someone needs 10 seconds of thought to reflect before they realize, I'm going to tweet it anyway?
That's the whole thing, you know, count to 10, let the anger subside.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to do it. I'm going to guess if someone is angry enough to tweet some of the really nasty things that are out on social media, a prompt saying, "Want to review this before tweeting?" would not change their mind.
No, probably not.
Apparently, they began testing it a year ago, and now they're going to roll it out on a more, a wider basis. In the test, by the way, it did find, I'm just reading this now, that if prompted, 34% of people revised their initial reply or did not reply at all. After being prompted once, people composed an average 11% fewer mean replies, according to Twitter. So, 11%. I'm surprised. I would think if someone's tweeting something, they're angry and breathing for 10 seconds isn't really going to change their mind on it. But look for that when you're angry that I have picked the Bills improperly, you will be given a chance to delete your tweet before you send it.
I have a stat of the day nominee, maybe stat of the year contestant.
Oh, I'm not. I already did the read once today. I don't make enough money to do it twice. All
what
right.
What was your stat of the day again?
What the hell was? Austin Matthews, second fastest Leafs player to fit 40 goals in franchise history.
Second fastest.
I didn't say it was stat of the year. Yeah, it was just stat of the day. It could have been stat of the hour if you really want to make it simple.
This is from Major League Baseball analyst Ryan Spader on Albert Pujols.
Yeah.
So stat of the day from me.
Brought to you by Cows of Buffalo. Go ahead.
Container on wheels.
Mobile storage. Rent a cow today. Move 592-3343. Well done.
Albert Pujols. This is like the stat we have on Yager, right? He's played
With a whole bunch of people.
Marlowe's played
40
with
years.
30% of the league ever.
Yeah.
How about this? Ryan Spader points out, Albert Pujols has gotten a hit off of more than 10% of all players to ever throw a pitch in a Major League Baseball game.
That's pretty good.
10.21%. There have been 19,979 players in history. 10,501 have thrown one pitch. He has hits off of 1,072 different players.
I know 10% is not going to wow people, but baseball does go back into the 1800s.
Yeah, I mean, to 10% of all the players to have ever thrown a pitch.
Yeah, I mean, that's really impressive. I feel like that's a really significant stat, actually, yeah.
There you go.
I like that.
Stat of the day.
We haven't, are you putting it up for a nominee?
I don't think it's stat.
We haven't had one in a while. We're overdue. When you're off, you're going to come up with a stat of the year nominee. I was going to say it's not one of my strengths, but I don't really have any strengths, actually, so it really would be one of my many weaknesses. 803-0550 to join us as we roll into hour number four. We got a winner, right? Brayton, you Got a winner? Yeah. Okay, so stop calling because we did give away the Genesis tickets. Again, they'll go on sale today at noon. Ticketmaster.com. 644-9878. Got some football to get to. We'll see if we can squeeze in a little better. Forget it. Casey Kandel, Bison's manager, is going to join us. Their season's underway in Trenton, and they'll be there as long as the Jays are playing in Buffalo. The Bisons will be playing, quote, home games in Trenton, New Jersey. So Casey's going to join us at the bottom of the hour. Phone lines are always open for you to join us, too, on WGR.